Right. This is an impromptu podcast, Red News Podcast 42, because Nick messaged me and said, I demand an indicative vote that we have a podcast to reflect on Wolves and preview Barcelona. It's Friday night. I'm not watching that shower of shite, and I'm not having them pollute our podcast. We're United, so we can only concentrate on ours. I'm not letting the hell or AIDS or leprosy vote affect this. All I will say is I used to like Klopp, and now I can't stand the sight of him. I'm just going to pour a glass of red wine, Nick, because it's Friday night and what a nut. Right, so what I will say is, what do we find out this week? We found out that a seller, his dad laminates his season ticket card. What's that all about? And we lost to Wolves, and some ABU messaged me on the morning after, oh, the wheels are falling off, and it seems to have, like, created a backlash. Or is that just a Twitter backlash?
I don't know. I think I need a break from Twitter. I think this last sort of week, 2 weeks, has just been almost unbearable, I think. I just think there's so much overreaction going on. You know, I mean, we've not been great, have we? Let's be honest. You know, we didn't play particularly brilliantly against Wolves or Watford, but...
It's Nick, by the way. Did I introduce you?
No, you didn't. Well, you never do. I'm used to it now.
Sorry, so. It's Nick. We were going to have Steve, but he's drunk in his gutter somewhere in Cyprus, and Nathan's gone AWOL. So it's just you and me, Buster.
And some of the stuff he threatened to talk about wasn't PC for this time as well. So.
Yes. That's Steve, that is. But is it? I think Twitter's just a wild. The world's wild. If you think you're watching Parliament and they're just off their tits, Twitter's off their tits. The streets are mental, full of just people going absolutely bonkers. So it's just everyone calm down a little bit.
Yeah, we've had a fair bit of overreaction this week. I mean, some of the stuff I've read this morning has just been absolutely ridiculous about, you know, Lukaku, Pogba, and this player and that player, and I just don't think I can go on it anymore. I like going on there for a source of news, but I just think a timeout. I think it's in order. I think I need to have a break, delete the app or something. It's driving me mad. The thing that
you don't do that, because the more sane people that leave it, it just becomes. But there is the other. There's always a but, and there's always another side which you have to consider, which is the problem. I don't think people consider the other alternative or listen to another argument. Is that what Wolves and our form, really, Paris apart, has been wiltering a little bit, is it's shown the old fault lines. So it's what it's identified is the sum of all our parts aren't equal to we are what we are. So Ollie managed to, you know, provide a welly up for them. But what we're seeing in the likes of Wolves twice is a fairly average squad. Is that...
Yeah. I think it's fair to say it's a fairly average squad. I think when you look at, you know, some of the stuff that we've, you know, if you feel the right or wrong back four or five, you know, De Gea, Valencia, Young, Smalling, you know, is a lot of them are still Fergie signings that are in there, and you know, we're still talking 6-7 years on from that. You know, it's frightening, really. It's more than an average squad. It's an aging squad. It's a squad that's not really quite hit its potential, where you feel like some of these players that they're not that good enough probably would have been, you know, shipped off under Fergie. And we're kind of just putting up with it now, aren't we, really? We're just kind of just getting used to just having these mediocre players playing for us that probably aren't good enough to wear the shirt.
But it's a four-year... we're on four different managers' squad now. So that's why you need the pace of that change. So some one manager can just get a grip of it and say, these are my players. We've got Fergie players. We've got Van Gaal players. We've got a couple of Jose players, I don't know for how much longer. Do you know what I mean? So there's no one putting their own mark on a team or a squad.
That's the worry. And I think the thing is, though, is that this is why the overreaction's been so bad, is because Ole's not really had a proper transfer window as a permanent manager to put his mark on the squad and to say, look, these are the kind of players I want. I want to sign this type of player or that type of player. And he's not had that yet. And I think until we've had that window, there's no reason why... I don't think, anyway, personally, I don't think there's any reason why we should be overreacting about it, because we shouldn't really, realistically, be in this conversation for top four. You know, Ole's made this happen miraculously. And, you know, without that, without the run that we've been on since Christmas, the top four would be completely irrelevant anyway. So I don't understand why all of a sudden he's now under pressure after getting us back involved in something that we probably didn't rightfully belong in come December, come Christmas time. So
yeah, but how does the frenzy change then, Nick? How do we get away from three results and you're in trouble? You know, if Paris was only 30 days ago.
He shouldn't be part of that, you know, I don't think anyway yet. I mean, he needs to be given, you know, he certainly needs to be given the summer and see how we start. You know, we were saying on the podcast on Saturday, you know, if you look at the form table since he's taken over, you know, United is still right up there, you know, since Christmas. So, you know, he's obviously doing something right in there. Okay, the last couple of games haven't been great, and that's fine, but the whole media's been waiting for Solskjaer to fail in this role.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like. They've been waiting for him to fail.
Yeah, but football's gone properly bonkers if failing is losing two games on the trot or three out of four. You know, without saying...
They like it not just in football, they like it in everything. No, you know, it's the reason why people start reading the news and they'll watch the 10 o'clock news and they'll read about terrorism and stuff like that because that's what they want. They want the negativity and that's what people get into. And we can't be part of that Man United, I don't think. I just think until Ole's had a real chance at signing... He's not even signed a player.
Yeah.
You know, all he's done is got rid of Fellaini and it's proved a pretty popular decision amongst most of the fans. You know, it's like, give the guy a chance, give him a summer.
But that's
you know,
what I'm... But it shouldn't even be a summer for me. I know this is after, you know, you say Moyes has got to go, but until we, you know, I'm talking a long, long time to see how things even themselves out. And all my ongoing thing has been since Fergie that I like having a compass point and a place on a map and where you'll go. Yeah, we might lose a couple, you know, you might lose two in a 10-game period, but I like knowing where we're going and where we're heading. And we've never seen, bar Ollie's initial, but the modern United doesn't seem to know where it's heading and where it's going. And we'll come to the briefings later. But let me read out a few comments that were on Twitter. The more sensible, saner, you know, and anyone who was saying Ollie's even suggesting it was the wrong decision, I think it's just mad for now. But right, I'm going to go. There's a couple of people, and there's a few on the forum as well. So the first one is James Rydell put, the difference is when we lose, we're not blaming the manager anymore, but the players. Most fans back Ollie. It's gone wrong for previous three managers, and they've squandered money. We need to identify the problem areas and recruit accordingly. No more scattergun buys. Then another one put, it was a bad result. Ollie has done a great job on confidence. This is from the Red News Forum and style of play, but the lack of quality in the first choice 11 is now coming home to roost. Last night, there were only three players who were good enough who started for the first team in the long term, and two of them, Pogba and De Gea, might be off. So we fucked up the wage structure buying Sanchez, and that leaves us needing six quality players of quality, in my view, and we're basically trusting a board who have fucked up the previous thing, so it looks like a long way back to paradise. Then another, Matthew Langhorn, has put, Ollie knows the job he has to do at United. I'm pretty certain he's the man to do it. Maybe we need a high-profile sell, good take, right, to keep everybody on their toes. It worked in 95. And then, like, my point is just we're a revolving door, and that has got to stop. So, we're still talking about Young's future. We signed contract renewals for Smalling and Jones. We're still talking about Mata may stay, Mata may go. You know, we're not talking about the players who are setting the world on a light, are we?
Not really, no. I mean, I think someone said on Saturday, who was sat behind me, and they said, who would you pick out for player of the season? It's a tough conversation, you know. It's like, okay, the last few years hasn't been great. We've been choosing the goalkeeper, and that's been an argument in itself. But, you know...
Yeah, thanks, fuck, we're not doing that anymore. That's progress, Nick. We haven't got the goalie as fucking...
Is it, though? You know, at the same time, is it, though? It's like the back four's been shipping goals in for the start of the season, and... I don't even know what progress is. I think everything's just sort of skewed our vision over, you know, who would you realistically choose
so Luke Shaw.
As player of the season?
Shaw, Luke Shaw, for me.
You could maybe put Rashford in that Rashford. Conversation. That's probably it. It's not good enough, is it, really?
No.
You look at both of those players that are in that in that conversation. They're both English, and we were having this discussion, weren't we, in the well, just before the podcast, I think it was on Saturday, saying we want Ole to get back to the point of, you know, not just playing kids, but having this hungry group of young English players. And I think really so far this season, you know, you look at the two best players in Shaw and Rashford, it's kind of hard to disagree. And Lingard at times, even when he's come in, he's been very good. It's just, I don't know, it's just a lot of very much inconsistencies with...
Well, it's a lot of what ifs as well. You're relying, you know, if we did get three, four players, you're relying on 20 who are still going to be here, who many of us are saying 10 aren't good enough. So this is what worries me in the long term. It's not Ollie, but it's the structure. You know, the director of football, whether some people again say that Van der Sar, I've not heard that, and then the lingering Saudis. You've got all these variables where no one seems to know what the fuck is going on. And if this transfer window is the biggest in years, then who's making those decisions, really? And not meaning to try and put a depressive on it. You know, we're back in that, the clouds of gloom are above us. What I'd like to know is Luke Shaw's got 10 yellow cards. How the fuck has he done that? That takes some doing.
But there's one dirty player, is he, though, Luke Shaw?
No, he's clumsy. He's like one of those oafs. He's just not as big an oaf. I mean, what do you say about Phil Jones's face? Jesus Christ.
I think the less the better. Enough been said about Phil Jones.
But Ian Wright, bizarrely, of all people, made a point which I did agree with, and he said, I feel that Ollie may have set a bad precedent by saying that his team played well and that he was happy with what they did against Wolves. They didn't play well. Or is that just Ollie, hopefully, doing the PR, trying to replicate Fergie in all ways, and then inside, do you think he's given them a... Because that was not a good performance.
It wasn't a good performance, no. I'd like to think there's obviously some sort of a rocket that's gone in there. It's a massively rotated squad in a way, and...
But that felt like the Fergie Tinkerbell, you know. Pick a tombola and pick some names out of the hat.
Came back out.
Yeah.
But the thing is, though, there were still more than enough quality players out there. You know, you saw Smalling and Lindelof in there, who, you know, you would look at.
Well, we started, you know, well. We did start very, very well.
But somebody started well as well.
Obviously, well, I thought he had a good game. I mean, that's again, he's had five or six very good games in consecutively, and he was written off. So maybe we just need to pause and say, just, you know, oh, we're all so fucking uptight, relax a little bit from it all. But then I get,
yeah,
I'm saying all that, and then I get round, you know, Andres Pereira, I know he's saying stuff to MUTV or whatever, so they're just saying bland, 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 bland. But against the big clubs, we rise to the occasion, we show our character. Hello? If you're not doing it against the other 80%, and the other 80% who are more desperate to beat us than anyone else,
it doesn't really matter.
Then that doesn't say, that is a bad attitude to go into. Or maybe I'm just...
It's a worrying quote. Definitely a worrying quote.
And another thing that wound me up, assist Nick. Fred got an assist the other day. That's not an assist, that's a pass. But Tomini did all the hard work. So anyone who dares say Fred's on, you know, five assists for a season, it's not. What do you think about Fred? That made a good play.
You know what, everything I've seen of him, I don't necessarily mind him. I think he's a little bit giddy on the ball, and I think he's not quite used to the amount of pressure that he's getting on the ball. And I think that he's quite similar for the rest of the squad. I think the way the Wolves pressed us on the Tuesday night, you know, you've got, you know, Youngie looks uncomfortable on the ball, Smalling looks uncomfortable on the ball. Most of the players we've got in our squad look really uncomfortable on the ball, and I think it's a threat.
That's David Moyes-esque. All we need to do is improve his net on everything.
Yeah, but they all genuinely do look uncomfortable on the ball. There was no point in that game where I thought, you know what, we were playing some okay stuff in the first 20 minutes, but we still looked very uncomfortable when we had the ball. We were still passing it, levering it into each other on a wet pitch, and no player could control the ball. And I thought Fred at first, in the first couple of minutes, seemed to be okay. You know, he was the one that was kind of dealing with it a little bit. So
at least we had the first couple of minutes. Now, that's what I do think our game control and holding the ball and ball retention, where you see other teams just kill, especially, dare I say it, that other lot. You know, they kill a team with just holding the ball, which we just seem like rabbits caught in headlights for fucking game in, game out sometimes. Here's another point. Steve Prentice, an old, well-known Red, he put Ollie has identified areas to be strengthened and he will recruit United standard players. Our results recently are a combination of fitness sessions, tiring the players out and the harsh glare of who is not good enough. We just need Ollie's business head on this. You got faith?
Yeah, I completely agree with that point. I think it's a really good point to make. You know, I think that you need to just make sure, it goes back to the point we were saying before about, you need to just give him that summer to bring those kind of players in. And, you know, you see these people saying, oh, you know, I want Bale and I want this kind of player. And it's like, no, we don't want to be taking...
No, I'm not Bale.
We don't want Bale. No, I agree with you.
Did you see him from Madrid last week? He looked... I just thought, God, Jesus, have two Sanchez in the squad.
Yeah, well, yeah.
That's a bit
unbright. I feel like you consider it as a step down. It's like, what else is it realistically for him to come here and do? You know, it's like he's won so many Champions League, so many trophies, and it's going to be a step down for him. And it'd be like Di Maria-esque. I just don't want to be taking players from clubs right now that, you know, probably not bigger, but you know, they're better than us. Do you know,
you feel
know,
he reeks of Ed wanting him. You know, like Woodward would be there in his underpants, putting brute on, going, oh yeah, this is a great day. We're going to announce him. You know, can you imagine the commercial deals and the video with Bell playing a harp or something?
It wouldn't surprise me if we signed him, though. Would it surprise you if we signed him?
No. It reeks of United's haphazard sign a player in. Ageing, tiring, very sporadic fitness, whose ego would ruin the dressing room as well, I think.
Yeah, but that's the thing. That's exactly the kind of state we're in. And when you were saying before about who's making the decisions, it's got to make sure that come the summertime that it's right and the right person's doing it. And, you know, if there is this talk of director of football coming in, then fantastic, that sounds great. And if they can work alongside Ole, he's come out and said that he's quite happy to work alongside, well, then great.
Yeah, but it's so precarious because they've got to get on with each other, Nick. They've then got to get on with Ed enough to take it when Woodward comes back from the Glazers and says no. The computer says no, you're getting bugger all this summer. You know what I mean? There's so many variables to it.
Yeah.
People just think director of football, that'll work. It doesn't always. People fall out, they leave, you get prima donnas, you get managers getting the hump with it. For now, we've only seen Ollie's nice side, you know. Well, top four, I don't think it's out of the question yet. And I'd bite your hand off any season where, in any run-in, not that, again, the top four cut, with four of our last six games at home, or whoever the opposition, and then bring it on, you know, you should be buzzing. It's almost like Barcelona's an afterthought at the moment, that we're not, whatever, it's a free pass, whatever happens, let's Wednesday be a really good night, and enjoy it, and think it, for, even for the kids that stay and are involved, it's good for their development, that sort of important game atmosphere against top, top quality cannot do any harm in the long run, can it?
No, I don't think so. I fail to see what all the negativity is about that I've read online about playing Barcelona, and it's going to be a cricket score, it's going to be this, it's going to be that. And I just think...
Well, you're giddy, aren't you? You're giddy.
Yeah, I'm more than giddy. I actually cannot wait. And,
Your romantic view of football, Nick, I wish... I wish I still had about half of it left.
Probably not going to go through, let's be honest.
I think we could get a result on Wednesday, though. The way this season has been mad, or that we don't get a result and we go over there. You know, we've got results against Juventus and Paris, so...
The thing is for me is that I'm worried because if you look at all the Champions League games we've seen this season at home at Old Trafford, we scored one Champions League goal. We didn't score against Valencia. We didn't score against Juventus. The one goal we have scored was against Young Boys, and it was Fellaini, and he's now flipped off to China. We didn't score against PSG. So where are these Champions League goals at home coming from? That's what makes me nervous about it. I don't necessarily worry about when everyone's going, well, we're going to go to the new camp, and everyone's saying, oh, we'll put in a performance, we'll be fine away from home or whatever. The whole performance that I'm worried about, thinking, well, where are these old Champions League goals coming from? Because not one current player at Manchester United has scored a Champions League home goal this season. So
God, that's
got to be somewhere in the mind.
I didn't know that.
It's true, though, isn't it? It's depressing. This is the thing. This is what I was saying to you, and I'd gone to something like five United games on bounce and hadn't seen a goal this season. It was ridiculous. They were the dark times, and it's like, now I look at it under Ole, and I think, yeah, okay, he's only have won Champions League game at home and, you know, a couple of injuries and stuff like that. It was a little bit unlucky. I'm just excited to see what Wednesday's going to bring, and I think hopefully it's going to be something different. If it was Mourinho still in charge, we'd all be thinking, oh, it's going to be the same. There'll be no goals. United won't score. He'll play for a 0-0 and he'll try to get away goal away from home. And, you know, I don't think anyone's thinking it like that. Everyone's thinking, oh, we'll beat Barcelona at home and we might take a draw away. And it's like, calm down a little bit.
If Mourinho was in charge, Pogba would have been suspended because they would have been caught fighting on camera in the car park at Carrington. We wouldn't have beaten Paris. We'd be about seventh, and we're just waiting for the mathematical equation to come that it's all doomed and he's sacked. All we've got to hope is Messi looks at Phil Jones's face and thinks, what the fuck is that? And like Medusa, like, is just transfixed by his gurning all game and somehow puts him off. Man mark him, Phil. You can do it. Right, so now let's move on to signings. And dare I say it, like, again, it's like, you know, it's long been said that transfer junkies, you know, it's become a sport in itself, but it's just endless lists of names, and it's like, is that it? Do you get any fun out of that? Do you part? No, Mark does. Mark Seller loves all that. You know, are we going to sign every day? Isn't it? Are we going to sign him? I've never even heard of him, Mark.
Do you know what? I used to get really excited when I used to read it. I used to love the gossip column on BBC. I've not gone anywhere near it in years, but, you know, the Wesley Snyder one really did me in, and it was kind of like, yeah, we're going to sign him, and for like the next three seasons, every single transfer window, his name was mentioned, and I just thought, I've given up hope, we're never going to sign him. But I'm not interested in any of that. You never know who they're going to sign. Like, you look at Dallow last year, he went completely under the radar. Nobody had a clue until like 2 days before it was announced. People don't necessarily know. Most people thought Fred was going to City. It's just a load of crap. So, no, I don't look into it at all.
Until, we've got to get away from who it is and what are they going to do? You know, Graham put, my concern is how the United teams beat others, rivals, to emerging players. This has been an elephant in a room since 2009. Too many class players have been linked with us and said no thanks or not. You know, and you think, again, what I was saying on Saturday about top strikers, you know, Benzema, we were linked endlessly with, and he's still at Madrid. They're the type of players, you know, and instead, we've signed so much lacking quality. We haven't had a vision. Have they fitted into our system? So it's not about the quality. You know, I'd rather we went left side and we're going, right, are they young? Are they keen? You know, how well have they been scouted? They've got two-footed so they can play the modern game moves. You've got to play in two or three positions. You know, are you good with the ball? Can you move with the ball? And then see.
Yeah. And those players are available.
I don't know. I'm trying to wean myself off. Apart from bizarre South American games late at night where the fans are going absolutely apeshit, I'm trying to wean myself off. You know, and I don't know. I couldn't tell. I thought Fabian Brandy was going to be a success at United. I have no idea. All you can say is when you see. But what I will say, like, two things, right? Well, many things, actually, change that to. Right, contract renewals. We're making duff moves on that. You know, Jones and Smalling, they play well, very well at times, 2, 3, 4 games, and then the fifth is an absolute disaster. That can't be good enough, can it?
No, it can't be. No, it's not. We need better defenders, don't we, than those two. I think Smalling has got better with age, and I do think that, you know, he might get to maybe 7 or 8 or 9 games before he has an absolute howler, and he can be far more consistent, but, you know, Jonesy at times, you look at sometimes, the way we talked him up against Watford, I thought he was excellent on Saturday, I really did. I thought he won absolutely everything that came near him. And then you see him against Wolves and...
But you can't afford that at what the level we want to be at. You can't.
No, you can't. And don't get me wrong, I think Phil Jones would probably make a very good Premier League defender for another team. But if you look at all the other, out of the top six, which other team does he start for?
Leicester. That's his
top six.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Well, that's his limit.
That's what I mean. So he's 7th or 8th. Everton.
He doesn't get into Liverpool starting 11. He doesn't get into City starting 11. He doesn't even get on the bench for those two. You know, and that's the kind of level that you've got to be thinking, you know, when you're signing players, it's more of a long-term game now, isn't it? And is there realistically a future for Phil Jones at United?
Well, we've just offered him
Do you think he's going to be getting any better than what we've already seen?
No, but so why was he given a new contract?
I don't know. The only thing I can think of is, to me, is contracts in football mean son all anyway. He could easily go on and move.
Yeah, but you say that. It's only if there's another club interested to pay at the wages you're willing to see. And as we've seen with Matteo Darmian, you end up paying them potloads of money that will never get to the first team or never play enough. So you've given them the contract extension, you know, or further the year, triggered it, which brings me on to briefings. So I don't get it. What is the point of Ed sitting down with his journos for a glass of wine and a canapé and then trying to... I don't know, what is he trying to do? What's the point of it?
I don't think he knows what he's trying to do. I think that's the way you think
but
about it.
But there has to be a point to it.
His own ego is his biggest downfall, isn't it, really? How it's in the way, more than anything. And I just don't know what he's thinking for this summer. And I just hope that he does want to give Ole a bit more of the football side of things and a bit more of the saying. I hope that it's not just he's not just put him in charge just for a feel-good factor for the fans, just to sort of... make a bit more room for himself to do more commercial deals or whatever and take a bit of pressure off himself, because I kind of felt at the time that's kind of what it almost was about. The cynic in me kind of thought that, but I have no idea what Edward was thinking. I don't think anyone's really got a real idea of what he's really thinking for his plans for this summer. It's quite worrying, really.
But that's
the thing. We need a plan. You need to do something. And obviously not to keep mentioning how great Liverpool are, but at least they've got a plan of what they wanted to do. They haven't won anything, but at least they put a plan in place to get themselves up there and get them fighting from being in the position where the league position lies anyway, of where we are now to where they are now. You know, it takes a plan. It takes a bit of a goal. You know, you've said that about your, you know, not being a big fan of Klopp, but... You know, a while ago when he was at Dortmund, he put a plan in place and made the team grow. Toppled Bayern Munich for a couple of seasons, and they were fantastic to watch. They were great to watch. And he's done the same at Liverpool. He's put the foundations in place. He's taken a couple of seasons.
This is making me feel a bit sick. You have a point, but it's making me a bit...
It is, but that's the thing, and that's what Ole's got to be allowed to do. That's all it is. I'm just trying to turn it back on.
No.
He has to be allowed to do that in the summer, and you've got to make sure, if you're Ed Woodward, that you give him that full trust, knowing that he knows the club, and knows exactly how we should go.
But there's this belief that somehow, he can pull one out this. But you've got to look, repetition, if you keep repeating your same mistakes, then that is the norm. That isn't the exception. I will say, we had it in ages ago. I've just looked why the briefings take place. And in the 2014 annual report we put in the mag about 5 months ago, the Glazers put, the success of our business depends on the value and strength of our brand and reputation. Blah, 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 usual money, money, money. And then we believe we must preserve, grow and leverage the value of our brand. For instance, we have in the past experience and we expect that in the future we will continue to receive a high degree of media coverage. Unfavourable publicity regarding our first team performance in League and Cup competitions, blah, 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 could negatively affect our brand and reputation. Failure to respond effectively to negative publicity could also further erode our brand and reputation. So basically they're twofold. They're saying when you criticise, you respond, and you need to be in the media. So what is Ed doing? We've lost to Wolves, or we've had a little bit of a bad patch, and he's putting our name in the media, and he's also, in his own idiotic way, thinking he's responding to the criticism. Why do we criticise him? The contract renewals, the briefings, and someone on the forum put, Ollie's greatest opponent this summer doesn't wear the colours of another club. He wears our own suit and red club tie. So, right, we've signed our last 11 signings. Here's a bit of research I did, Nick. Ignoring Lee Grant, because I couldn't even remember he played against Derby. But 11 significant signings, you would say, for the first team. And you tell me now, after each one, if you think they've been a success... Possibly or no. So
or will be.
Well, yeah, Dalot.
He makes sense. I think that makes sense as a signing. We needed a right back, didn't we? So
Fred.
Yeah, I think yeah.
Fred.
I think when you sign a player that's in Brazil's squad, you should be signing him with some sort of expectation. And okay, he's had a season to bed in. I think next season will tell whether he's going to be right or not.
Lukaku.
Proven Premier League goal scorer. Not been fantastic this season, but he scored nearly 30 goals last year. And
his agent linked him with Real Madrid and Barcelona, don't forget, today. And all I could look at that, have you seen the video?
I've not seen the video.
Have a look at his agent's, like, hair sticking out, the bouffanted hair. Maybe it's bald jealousy of my part, but have it cut, mate. Jesus. Right, Matic?
I really wanted to say, yeah, when we signed him, but I still think he's more of a no, really, with Matic. And it really pains me to admit that, because his whole point is supposed to be to free Pogba up, and we've not really seen that, have we, over the last few weeks. And no, I don't see that signing getting any better than what it currently is, personally.
Lindelof?
Yeah, he's been all right this season. All right. He was great last year. Lindelof,
better. That one. Sanchez?
Yeah. No. Next.
Pogba?
You know me, I don't like the guy. I never liked him. I didn't want him back. As soon as we cut ties with him, I was really pleased. And I was not devastated, but I was disappointed when we signed him back. And it's kind of proved me half right.
Mkhitaryan?
Such a shame. Such a waste of talent, really. See Shinji Kagawa. Such a waste of
talent. Bally. Well, that's it. On a quicker side, the briefings. Not only are you linking yourself with players that the selling team will think, hang on, I'm going to up the charge because I know they're desperate and they're keen, but also in them saying we might consider offers for Bally and we expect Rocco to go, there might be, you know, and Fergie would have bloody done this till the cows come home. We might need Rocco for 15 minutes this season. You know, Barcelona away. And the chief executive has briefed that, oh, we're getting rid of you. So it's totally counterproductive. I don't, you know, in what world would you undermine what you've got until the season is over? And those players, they might have been aware of it, but it's publicly saying, you're off ski, or we want to sell you. You know, just ridiculous. Short-term, if that's global management on a multi-million pound business, Jesus. Right, so Zlatan.
Yeah, definitely.
Definite win. Success, apart from the shame of the last second season. Right, Martial.
I don't see him personally being, again, I don't see him personally being better than what we've already seen of him. You know, we all know there's a player in there. I just don't think he will ever be completely consistent, and I think he started to fall under the same category as maybe Memphis Depay, and if he moves on to another club, you know, you might see him do like a Diego Forlan and a massively kick on and massively get better, but whether it's with us...
I think you've got to give him... I think you've got to give these youngsters... Still are very young. He's going through a lot of life experiences. I know people will go, but he's going through a lot of mad shit, which he should be better controlled by the people around him and United. You know, whether he gets his head together, I'll go through mine quickly, but the last, I'll have the super sub on this, the 12th signing was Schneiderlin. So what I would say, so that, you know, we're not that we would sign a whole new team, but that's the last team we did buy. And that cost us £469 million, to which I'd say Dalot, I'm encouraged by, Fred, I have my doubts because he gives the ball away so many times. I don't think you can eradicate that sort of carelessness in your game. Lukaku I like, but it might be... I don't think it's going to work out to the levels where he's going to stay number nine. And I think his agent's deluded if you think the level of clubs he's talking about. Matic I like, but he's getting old. Lindelof I think there's potential. Sanchez, one of the worst signings we've ever had, and his attitude stinks. Pogba, just really, really disappointed. You know, just can't work him out anymore. So I'm almost like forgetting to, really, because it's just pointless. It'll happen or it won't, but he decides in his head whether it's going to happen. Mkhitaryan just, no, too, didn't get it. Bally, possibly. Zlatan won us over and definite winner if he'd been younger. Martial, I like. But he needs to do it more and he needs to run at the man more. And Schneiderlin was just an embarrassment of that money. So there you're talking a couple of wins, a few possibles and several failures. And that's what puts the fear of God into me about this next stage. Unless Ollie as a great outlook, scouting knowledge, you know. And I'm not putting a downer on it. Ollie is the best man to take this step, club the next stage forward. But it's more the men above him that the sea change needs to happen. And that's a hell of a lot of wasted money, that.
Well, if they're going to listen to him, if they're going to listen to anyone, they really should be listening to him. And if they're not, then that's a real worry. But the thing is, all the signings that you've ran through on that list, though, I can think all of them, they all made sense when we signed them. Every single one on that list made sense to me when we signed them, we were thinking, yeah, okay, that signing makes sense. They just not turned out to be Manchester United players, and the fact some of them have on the list, but you know, some of them haven't turned out to be Manchester United players, and the club's maybe been a bit too big for maybe a step too far. But you know, Fergie got stuff wrong, you know, everyone always gets stuff wrong in signing players. But all of those players, when we signed them, they all made sense. It's like, you know, people are still, the jury's out on Lukaku, for example, but he's a proven Premier League goal scorer.
Yeah.
You know, there's Pogba, and it's like, well, you know, he was playing in the European Cup final for Juventus. You know, then you sign Rojo, and you think, well, he was in a World Cup final for Argentina. You're thinking, they all make sense, these signings. They've just not materialised in the way that we would have hoped them to be. Do you know what I mean? So, I think, you know...
But again, is it the sum of all parts then, Nick? Is it? Who are you going to give credit to?
Well, I was just saying, not massive credit, but I'll just be saying, you know, I'm not trying to stick up for Woodward or anything, but the signings have made sense, the ones that we've bought. It's just, the problem is the way that we've gone about it. We've negotiated bank contract deals, and for example, you now give Sanchez a certain amount of money per week, and then you start giving, you know, it starts having a knock-on effect with De Gea and then Herrera and Matten. You know, they all started wanting more money, and, you know, that's what's been the major problem, I personally think, anyway. I think that the actual signings that we've made, a lot of them have made sense, you know.
But surely someone in that circle at the top of United should have gone, hang on, we're giving, if the rumours are true, 390,000 if he doesn't play, and 460 if he does. I mean, it's just phenomenal to Sanchez that someone's going to go, well, hang on, the good players that you've got around him, when their contracts are up, are going to go, I want that. I mean, it was the problem with Rooney, that whenever anyone came in, it was part of... apparently, you know, his contract negotiations, that if a player came in and got more, knock on the door. So it's not, you've got to start thinking ahead and think, what problem does this create? Did we just do it? Did we purely just sign him despite City? Well, that's what Gary Cook was doing at City against us, and we've got to be bigger and better than that. But we're not going to end it on low, are we, Nick?
No, I mean, I'm still massively buoyed. I'm genuinely really pleased the fact that we're still in this top four conversation. We're still more than in it. It's not like we're sitting 5 points behind everybody or whatever, or 7 points behind. I think, you know, well, we could make it. We're still well in it, you know. The only thing I've not liked so far of only the last few weeks is saying that, you know, you need a certain amount of points from these last few games. I just think everything he's said so far has been, go out and win every single game. We're Man United, we should be playing to win every game. Not this conservative approach of thinking, well, you know, we need 15 points out of 18.
Yeah.
It's like, no. We want 18 points out of 18 points. We're Manchester United, we're the most successful team in England.
But Fergie used to set points total, so I do think that's where Ollie's trying to think, how would Fergie do this? But you should, we're going to lose two. We can lose two here. You know,
That's basically what it said to the squad, and I think hopefully now one of them's been lost. I'm thinking, this could be used as a rocket. I mean, we've got City and Chelsea at home, and I'll be completely honest. You know how pessimistic I am. It wouldn't surprise me if we got 4 out of 6 points from them as a minimum.
I feel like, you know, this again, we're caught in that thing. Oh, we're negative. We're not really. I'm still caught in the Ollie loving. I just think we need a summer, because we've had that bounce, and it's almost like we need time now, and time to just reflect, think, but get over the line, and we can. And I just want to beat City, I'm sorry, you know, I just want to win our games. You can't worry, you can't let whatever else happens elsewhere affect what you want. But I think we've got a chance, and I'm not doing... I don't think it'll be a cricket score. I don't know. Let's just give Suarez some shit. Have a good night. Lots of shit.
Oh, yeah.
And have a good night and just enjoy ourselves. And forget, you know, we're sort of... It's like, I don't know. Will got caught in it. I was watching it and just thinking, oh, I'm pissed off again. And we've got to keep stop pinballing from pinballing. What's that? Pinballing. Pinballing. What do you call it?
No idea.
Pinball machining. Is that no? That's not it.
Let's just roll with that.
Have a Mai Tai.
Oh yes.
You know, but just think, we've got to stop being so down after individual results and see at the end of the season, but see at the end of next season where we are. Do you think?
You have to remember that always made us get really excited, and he's also now causing this downward, this sort of like negative perception around the club at the moment. But we just got to remember that, keep grounded, and we should be part of this conversation. We still should be part. I still don't think we should be part of this. The fact that we're in it is just an absolute miracle. So the fact that if we end up out of it, it should be no bearing whatsoever on anything that Ole's done, because the fact that it's been remotely possible with a handful of games to go.
And as Rick said,
ridiculous. So you have to believe in that.
The Europa League final next year is in Gdansk, so that's supposed to be superb. Have you been?
Yeah, it's great.
So there you go.
We went to watch Lecce at Gdansk, didn't we?
No, I trust you to have been to a sad... Oh, is that where the ultras were mad?
Yeah, that's the one where they all put masks on and then ran around with knives when they scored. We watched the first half under a flag.
Just like the South Stand then?
Yeah, just like the South Stand, yeah, exactly that. It's a nice ground, it's new. They built it for the 2012 Euros, so it's built in the same mode as the Allianz Arena for Bayern Munich. So it's a nice ground.
Right.
Easy to get to, cheap city, great beer.
So there you go, so there's every cloud... I will say, there's one I'm going to come back to in a sec, Nick, but I will say thanks everyone who bought the mag. We sold 275 last weekend, which is great for us. But there's always a but. But that's out of 75,000 people, so it tells you how small we are and the fight we have to survive. So it's why we did the sub appeal last summer and why we'll be doing the summer advanced sub campaign this summer, because every person who buys a mag does make a difference. That's our first day, and then obviously the next days are nowhere near as good. So we're just a very small magazine, but people sometimes say, well, if you're selling that few, you know, give up. I'd never want to give up, and we've got a small community going. I get to know people, we all get to know people, so if you're enjoying it and you can still give people a voice and you can still be a visible protest that the club know are there, then I'm not going to give it up. But I won't deny it does get hard. And because it's hard, that doesn't mean it's worthwhile, but it does mean the podcast, I know this is just us talking shit, but they're getting quite a lot of people listening. So if for the price of less than a pint a month, you get a good mag. So it's worth trying, because the mag supports this, because everything sadly in this day and age costs, from podcast to everything. So that's just a little thank you, but also an appeal. And you'll be seeing that next month. So don't abuse us when we start that again. And you're a seller, Nick, and you appreciate that, don't you?
Massively, especially when it's cold and wet outside as well. And you've got us made a stud there without any brollies or anything, yeah.
All right, that wasn't meant to moan. Right, so let's be upbeat. We have got, I mean, only for the second time at Old Trafford am I seeing Messi. Only for the... Would it be the sixth time ever against United? Four ties, two finals. So you've got to see wonder, and you've got to see how we react to that. And you never know with United, the ability to surprise. So I am, and come, you know, dust Wolves off, I'm buzzing. And I think everyone will be buzzing come Sunday or Monday thinking, yeah, fucking I'll bring it on.
Do you know what? It'd be nice to think the players have had over a week off, really, as well. If everyone's saying, you know, we were looking tired or whatever, and obviously with the international break and things, hopefully it might work in our favour. I think if you're looking at a positive, that's got to be one of them. I think we're going to have a fast start against them. I'd be surprised if we didn't, especially with us being at home. And I just think, you know, if you do get an early goal in the first 10 minutes or so, maybe they do end up being a bit shell-shocked and who knows what can happen, but that start's going to be massively important. I think we will get off to a good start. It's just, can we get an early goal in that game? I think that's what if we're going to stand a chance in this tie, I think that's what's going to have to happen.
Well, after your fear, any type of goal I'll take. But maybe we all need to wear Phil Jones' mask. Just put the fear of God into Messi. Keep replaying that Wolves goal. Look into Phil's face. Right, prediction, Nick.
Don't think Phil Jones will be playing in those games, hopefully. I don't know. I do think we'll probably maybe get beat at home.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
I'm sorry, come on. They're the best team in Europe, in my opinion. I do think we'll probably get beat at home. I'll go for maybe a 1-0 or 2-1 Barcelona, and then away from home, I'm a bit more confident, just because I feel like our style of play should be suited. It is a bit more suited away from home. So maybe we'll get a score draw away from home. Spurs drew there earlier in the season in the Champions League, so... Yeah, why not a score draw there? But I do think we'll go out overall. They are better, yeah. Let's be honest.
Nick, you're supposed to be right. I'm going to be.
But we'll make the top.
No, I know. Let's see. Right, okay. And we're going to do one of these after the game. So let's see. But bring it on. Come on, United. All right. Cheers, Nick. Have a good weekend. Cheers, mate.